to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast for our very special NRLW preview show. That's right.
You didn't even tell me this was the first
time. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I just wanted to see your reaction.
I got the wrong thing up.
To be honest, I thought you'd be more subtle, like, oh, shit, I've got the wrong thing, and, like, quickly start tapping your computer, but your face straight away gave it away. No, I was only cheating up there. But that will actually be a funny clip for Instagram.
We're like, you know what, we're going to leave this. We're going to leave this in the podcast, you know? There you go. You now intro the next one. See, he's just jibbing me up here because we're about to do a preview for the NRLW that you guys should listen to. Which will come out in the next couple of days. So get around that. But Dane, open up the actual podcast.
Yeah, g'day and welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast for episode 51. We'll be reviewing round 19 and previewing round 20 of the NRL season and talking all things Gold Coast Titans, covering everything we can around the club. As a couple of housekeeping points, if you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're listening as a podcast, please rate and follow. And if you're on social media, follow at Titans Frontline on Instagram and join our Facebook groups. Both are under Gold Coast Titans Frontline. And in those groups, you will see exclusive ticket giveaways and other goodies for home games. Blaze, now we are in the correct podcast that we are doing today. My friend, how are you going?
Mate, I'm going absolutely swimmingly, son. 3 wins in a row. Can you believe that we are saying this right now after I had to record that individual 32-0 flogging by the Doggies in the early part of the season, basically crying? You know, we had to sit here and both do the Rabbitohs and the Tigers games, and, you know, we were just trying to figure out life. You know, we're trying to figure out what's happening with life. And now life makes sense. You know, when you win, life makes sense. When you lose, life doesn't make sense. So, like, it's pretty good. Obviously, you know, the team is going well, but I'm also doing my fitness thing and 75 hard thing as well. So I'm getting back onto the right track mentally, which is good. So, yeah, no, everything's coming up Millhouse at the moment. We look to take down Manly this week for Desi Asler.
Mate, absolutely love that. I've got a question. Do you reckon, like, what hurts more in your opinion, or what feels better? When we lost the 3 to start the year, Dragons, Bulldogs, Dolphins, I think it was our first 3, or a 3-game winning streak? Do you reckon it feels worse when it's low? How do I phrase this question?
What are you even saying? You just compared 3 losses to 3 wins and asking me what's better.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to phrase into this question is, do you think the happiness you feel after 3 wins is more significant than the pain you feel after 3 losses?
Well, that is a really good question, actually. That's a really, really good question. I don't think that, like, the Bulldogs and Dragons and Dolphins and whatnot, that was tough. But I honestly think the Rabbitohs and Tigers were probably the more difficult of the two, even though it wasn't a hat trick of losses there. There was 2 losses in between the Broncos win and the other one was the whoever we beat. Anyway, the point matter is that I would say... No, I would say that you do. It's impossible to really tell because one is the complete bottom and the other one is elation. But I think that I'll go with the bottom for now just because there's so much more still to achieve, right? You can't get lower than that. There's no possibility to go lower than the Tigers and the Rabbitohs and be in last. And you had so much hope and expectation and joy going into the season. And then it all just gets thrown amongst you and you're going down to the bottom of the table. Whilst where we're at right now, it's 3 wins and that's great, but we should be expecting to be like this. Like, we, unfortunately, our club has been so unsuccessful throughout time that we've never had longevity success, let alone just small success, really. So we're really on top of the moon after 3 wins, but, you know, a lot of other clubs go through this quite regularly. So I will say the low of those is more kind of big, if you know what I'm saying, compared to that, because I know there's still so much more to achieve.
Yeah, see, it was an important question. I just didn't know how to phrase it. I finally got there in the end. But I'm going to agree with you just because the down spots are more familiar than the high spots. Mm. And I think you're probably the same in this, where when it comes to our footy, we're both emotional guys. Like, oh, we wear our heart on our sleeves, right? When we win, it feels so good, but we really do feel those losses as well. So,
yeah, well, just to put it out there to make it understandable for everyone, you know, we're emotionally, physically, financially, and mentally invested in this team. We are everything that can be encapsulated into the life that we live is encapsulated in this team, whether through podcasts, whether through my YouTube or Clarkie's Instagram, Facebook, and whatnot. We are completely encapsulated. So And it's like you guys, listening in, everything isn't completely encapsulated. But, you know, at the end of the day, I would say that impacts you more now. But I think that there's going to be nothing that compares to when we're playing a home finals game or winning a grand final. That will just be, it won't even be comparable. That one will be all the way down there and the winning will be all the way up there.
Yeah, I actually think that when we do get our next home final, it'll sell out. And that's a bold prediction for CBus, but I reckon
we might sell out Broncos. We might sell out Broncos game at the time.
I think of that will majority be because Broncos fans live nearby as well, though. I'm saying no matter who we verse. No matter who. Okay.
The reason I say this is because last year, the year before, we had more Titans fans against the Broncos. I think it was a 60-40 split in favor of the Titans, which I've never seen before. I think that was about 2 years ago. So disagree with you on that. But I know what you're trying to say. Continue with what you're saying. But I just wanted to put out there that we actually may outnumber the Broncos in a couple of weeks if we keep this winning streak up.
Yeah, well, I think if we did get a home final against anyone, we wouldn't even need a 60-40 split to sell it out. I reckon we could go like 80-20, to be honest, because there are a lot of footy fans on the coast that will come out because Titans are their second team and they moved to the Gold Coast because it's a beautiful region and, you know, they might still support their original team, which is more than fine. But yeah, let us know in the comments, guys. What do you think is more significant, the feel of 3 wins in a row or the disappointment of 3 losses in a row? If only I could have worded that question correctly the first time, I would have saved just 2 minutes. So I apologize there, listeners. Let's move on to our Titans news segment, mate. Nothing too significant here, so we'll breeze through it pretty quickly. No judiciary news, no injury news. This Sunday, the 21st of July, our Gold Coast Titans netball side is in the semifinals in the Ruby and Sapphire competitions. I'm not sure what that is, but anything Gold Coast Titans and finals is good, and I will tell you that. Our girls did lose their NRLW trial game in Cairns against the Cowboys, 28 points to 12. My only takeaway from this is there's just been a bit of an overreaction online. I reassured one person in the Gold Coast Titans fan club. He said, you know, we were supposed to win the premiership this year. And I was like, mate, like, it's just the trials. Don't look into it too much at all, guys.
People are actually looking into that game and doubting us now.
Yeah, it's strange because... But we were just trialing combos and giving young players a run. There's nothing wrong with losing.
No Jamie Chapman. We had no Shannon Marta. We had no Jessica Elliston. I don't think... Oh, we did have Shales. We had... did Ivania Politi even play? I don't think many of our Origin players played at all, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just about fundamentally just blowing out the cobwebs for people that haven't played footy, so not our Origin players. Looking at a few different combinations the coach might be liking in preseason and getting some experience for our younger players. That's all it was. The strangest thing from that game, mate, is the fact that the North Queensland Cowgirls is not a licensed NRL name yet. They're still the Cowboys, even though it's a women's side, which that's honestly the strangest thing.
Are they trying to, though? Like, are they trying to get the Cowgirls licensed, or is it just a Cowboys thing?
Yeah, not that I've read. Apparently, they're still the Cowboys, and they don't have any plans to change it, which is, I don't know, if we had a name that was gender-specific, I would be petitioning to get the female name for our NRLW side. But look, it doesn't matter for us ultimately because the biggest thing a Titan has is premiership muscle, as we can see behind you on the green screen there. Absolutely. Alrighty, guys, this next one's not endorsed by the club, but details of it are available on our club website. You can secure a run home membership, they're calling it, which gets you a ticket to the last 3 NRL home games we have this year. $75 for adults, $30 for juniors. Also includes a membership pack with a Jaden Campbell bobblehead and a membership cap. When you call them on the phone or if you go on the website, if you do call the membership department or send them an email, you can also mention the front line and see if we can help out there as well.
Absolutely. And I will say on this as well, in regards to that, getting to our final 3 games, is that the atmosphere, we'll talk about this in a second, but the atmosphere at that Eels game was, you could tell the vibe beforehand and just entirely throughout the game. Like, you could tell there were more Titans fans there. You could tell that, you know, people were actually getting behind the chants, getting behind the noise and really vibing, man. So, you know, you want to be a part of this. You know, you want to be a part of what we're building and what we're trying to achieve. We are ranked, as provided by our CEO, in the top 3 for game day atmosphere and for what we provide there, man. So, get down, you know, get a membership and you can either try and get in with the front line or you can sit up on the eastern side with us or, you know, there's the GA on the north and the south areas. So, yeah, definitely get down because it's going to be a good run home.
100%. I also believe that membership pack contains 2 tickets to NRLW home games as well. So you're getting five games there for like $30 for your kids, $75 for an adult.
We've got two doubleheaders, I think it is, and then one individual Titans women's game, I think, which is a doubleheader with another women's game. But I know, I think the Roosters versus Titans game round 25, our last home game for the men's, I think is a doubleheader with a Titans-Roosters game. And I think the Titans-Broncos women's game is on the same day as the Titans-Broncos Seabus 2. I could be wrong.
Jeez, that'd be good, beating the Broncos two times in a day, the likes of which we've never had the opportunity to. Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah, guys, so if you can get a membership, if you're willing and able to get behind this club, please do so for our run home and hopefully a late push to the finals, which the team is talking about. You know, Kieran Foran came out this week and said that's what we're talking about at training. It's what we believe in. So that's super exciting stuff. On to reviewing last round now. So we do defeat the Parramatta Eels 24 points to 16. For me, mate, this was a game where, you know, we went up 18-0 in the opening 20, and I felt Eels weren't entirely off their game. So at that point, I always felt they were a live chance to come back. But as the game went on, even though the scoreline kind of decreased in their favor and it looked like they were, you know, somewhat coming home, that's actually when I lost confidence, because I was just like, this Eels team can't ice anything. And what I actually thought I was seeing was the Titans park the bus, which it's a luxury that we're able to do that. It's not something that's consistent in our game, so I'm not concerned with it at all. But I did feel in that last 20 minutes, we were kind of like, we've won this game. Let's just put the cue in the rack and call it a day. That's only my assessment watching from television. Certainly would have felt different there, especially with the atmosphere at the ground, right?
Yeah, no, it was definitely, it was a very intense last 15 minutes, I would say. It was really, actually, I'd say the entire second half was quite intense overall, because, you know, you can't be a Titans fan and not be concerned about the second half and going in leading at halftime. And in the second half, obviously, we've had so much heartbreak where other teams have come back and beaten us. And it doesn't matter where they are on the table, first or in last. It really doesn't matter. And although the Eels are in second last, they equal last, but second last on points differential. This team does have the caliber, you know, to go and do something. They've got Origin players and Regan Campbell-Gillard, you know. They've got a great deal of play. Gutho is another ex-Origin player. I guess you can go through the names. Yes, they had Mitchell Moses and that out, but we also had our entire front row forward pack out in Tino, Jimmy Jolliffe, and also Moeiki Potowaka with Origin. Good luck to him in Queensland tonight for you guys. But yeah, look, I think that it was a game that I thought we potentially, after Lofi scored, now I just want to put a shout out to Lorenzo Montalo. We had a bit of a back and forth on the sideline. If you guys were at the game, you would have seen that. It was quite funny. I got in his head pretty well. And then Lofi scored two tries immediately after that on his wing, which was absolutely brilliant. But after that, we scored those two tries. And then we went up 18-0. I thought, okay, this is just showing us right now this team is here to stay. You know, they are legit and they are going to push forward this and we're going to win big again. Now, it wasn't necessarily to be. I would agree with you in the park the bus strategy where, you know, for people who don't know what park the bus means, it's a football terminology where it's ultra defensive. And you're not thinking about scoring. You're not really caring about scoring, but it's just about not conceding, which it can be good in football, but in rugby league, it doesn't really make sense to do that at any stage. You just have to keep on playing like you normally were playing. So I think that it's good that we've now won three wins in a row, but also we're now starting to expect this kind of great performance from this team because we know that we can get it. So, you know, there are things to kind of criticize here. Like we can't be allowing the Eels that much into the game. They just weren't good. They weren't good. The whole game was scrappy. It really was. It was a scrappy game that, you know, I'm very happy to have won and we deserved to have won. And you know, I feel like we might have just kind of put the cue in the rack when, and this is not a negative on Bowie Firmer as a whole. Bowie is unbelievable. He's been great recently. But that knock on, I think, was like 10 or 15 minutes ago in the game, coming off our own line, which put the Eels back into the attack. I lost it. I lost it, Bowie, you know, and I love him. He's a great bloke. But, you know, those kind of things come in with everybody. That's why it's not just a Bowie thing. It's an everybody thing where, you know, although we win, now that we're winning, as you, I think you said this last week, right? The when you're starting to win, yes, it's great to win, but the negatives are something that you want to pinpoint so you can get rid of them, so you can be even better, kind of deal. I don't know if that makes sense. So yeah, overall, I'm happy with it overall. I thought JC was fantastic. I thought Keanu was great coming onto the field. And I think that just provided even more questions again for the fullback battle.
Well, that actually is a question I was going to ask you. I'll ask that in 1 second, but I completely agree with your thoughts there that because we're on this win streak now, we kind of are, we're getting the blinkers on and we're really narrowing in on these areas where we're not as strong as we could be. And that's actually a positive. Like I've had a round this year, mate, where the Melbourne Storm won their game and I still had them as my worst team because I just knew at their best they are so much better than that. It probably was, yeah. It probably was that game. And it was a very controversial take, but I stand by it. And I'm not saying we're at that level yet, but it is actually a good thing that, you know, last week I was pointing out a few negatives and areas we need to improve. You've done it this week. And it shows that the win streak isn't getting lost on us, the significance of it, because we want to keep building it and there are things we need to address to do so. So,
well, at the end of the day, we want to win a premiership. We want to get a home final. We want to win a premiership. And, you know, if you sit and you just kind of monocoddle and sit around and just say, oh, that was fantastic, that was fantastic, that was fantastic, win, and you don't look at the inner details of, you know, for example, that knock on, or, you know, for example, just little specific parts of the game that we allowed RCG Regan Campbell-Gillard, like that run from, it was a great kick, I think, from JC, which went 60 meters. And then RCG just absolutely ran it as hard as it possibly could and got to about the 30 or the 20 or whatnot and just pummeled through us. And I know our boy, I know that's a hard tackle to make, but I also know that our boys, they can make that tackle and they can make it. And they did actually later on in the game. I remember Regan Campbell-Gillard got the ball at the 55, as in on the other side of the field from a dropout, and ran it. And they stopped him in his tracks at the 35 or whatever it was. So the difference in the attitude, and this is something that I think I was speaking with Jimmy Jolliffe or someone at the beginning of the season, maybe it might have been Foz, where our defensive efficiency is unbelievable. We are really, really good for defensive efficiency. But it's the individual lapses that happen throughout the game. Lapses, not overall lapses, but individual lapses that cost us the tries. And that's what went to, you know, our losing streak at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I'm really appreciative that we're doing well. I think we've got some great stuff going on. Also, Chrissy Randall, 50 tackles, no miss, is just absolutely superb. I even told him yesterday, I think it was, I said, bet you can't do 51 no miss this week against Manly. It's great vibes. I want to really focus in on this and say that it is fantastic vibes and we're all loving it. But I want to remind everyone that 3 wins at the end of the day means nothing. We need to keep on winning and we need to get rid of those little errors because we, at the end of the day, want to win a premiership.
Spot on. And the fact that we are noticing these errors and these little moments of lapses in concentration, like you said, is also actually a really great sign because it shows how much we've improved as a side. You know, when we lost to the Dragons and Bulldogs earlier this year, we certainly didn't sit here and go, oh, but Bo Furman knocked on, or like I did last week, oh, Tanner knocked on. Yeah, we're not saying that, right? But these little lapses of concentration are now starting to stand out because overall as a squad, we've improved so much. So that's also really exciting. Back to the AJ versus Kinney debate. We had it in the pre-show. I said I'd prefer AJ. You said Kinney. Happy to say you got me there, mate. I thought Kinney had the better game than AJ. How did you see that play out at the stadium?
Yeah, that was a difficult one. I think that you guys got to see more of the viewing for that on the TV. I didn't think at the game that AJ was as bad as people have been making out to be. But, you know, like it wasn't that I didn't want AJ. It's just that I thought the form that Keanu Kinney is on right now deserved to stay in that fullback spot whilst AJ's coming back from a long-term injury. And then to chuck him straight in there, I didn't necessarily agree with. And yeah, look, I thought he was fine. Like that pass should never be happening. Like that's another thing. That's another one right there. Like he should never be throwing that pass back, which was it Charlie Geimer who scored? I can't remember. But it was Anil who scored when they shouldn't have been. We should have been up 18-0 at halftime. So you guys, that's the little things that you kind of notice when you're on these winning streaks and you're winning because you want to expect perfection and you want to get better. So for me, yeah, look, I think that Keanu did have the better game coming on. But overall, that doesn't mean that I now think that Keanu is overall above AJ. But I just don't think when a player is on such hot, red-hot form as Keanu was, and I would even argue is, I just don't think you can take him out. So that's why I would have suggested. But then again, I also suggested AJ to the 6 and JC to the 14, which I disagree with now because JC has been killing it in the 6. So, you know, you take parts of what you've said, you take parts of what I've said, and, you know, everyone's going to have their opinions. But, you know, we won. You know, we won. So it didn't cost us. But I did like Keanu off that form.
I think that's the interesting thing, right? When we had that debate last week, one thing we both agreed on at the end was there's no bad option here, right? There's pros and cons to every little one. As you said, your pros were Keanu at fullback. You were right. My pro was JC needs to say 6. I was right. So it does sum up that, like, we're in this super great spot, really, that we have this depth issue with the 3 superstars. I want to talk about Philip Sammy as well, mate. He returned from injury, came into the centers, was named on the bench. I don't think anyone thought he was going to come from the bench. And I just wanted to say one thing I really loved about his game at center was he still came in for those early carries as if he was a winger. And, you know, that's what made Phil Sammy so great a few years ago, or not even a few years ago. I think it was literally last year, where he was playing wing primarily for us. He was averaging like 175 plus run meters or something incredible. And we always used to say, like, we always used to point him out in our 3-2-1s and say how great he was. But that's genuinely, like, when you look at what really helped the Blues, for an example, in Origin Game 2, and not to digress too far, is the powerful hit-ups that they were able to get from a Zach Lomax and a Brian Toto. And typically you do see those powerful start to sets from wingers, like someone like a Greg Marzu as well. Now, Olofiane Khan-Pereira is a smaller, agile body. And in my opinion, he has always struggled with the early hit-up and finding his front like someone, a larger winger like Greg's able to do. So if we have Phil in the centers and he's able to come in and keep doing this hard work, whilst not 100% expected of him in the centers, I think that is bloody beautiful, mate. So I'm going to say we should keep Phil in the centers because his work rate did not drop at all. Did you agree with that? And what did you make of his game on the weekend?
I think the biggest thing to come with Sammy is that obviously JoJo has had such a you know, fantastic kind of breakthrough, I would say, in recent weeks. And that's another thing. You're right in regards to how underrated he is. I still think Khalees Arce is very underrated. But, you know, JoJo, in regards to the backs, he, you know, has really shown that he's so safe every week at the Shark. He's having coughs and this game here. And I keep saying to him, mate, you're so safe. Like, you're just not dropping the ball. You're confident. And it is really showing, like, he is starting to come together as the play. We knew the potential was there. You know, it wasn't there last year. Like, we weren't seeing what we needed to see. But now we are seeing it under Desi. And I do think that this Desi Haslam plan is really starting to come together. And he is a big benefactor of that, which then obviously also impacts Philip Sammy on the inside there, because you've got BK and Lofty on the other side. It impacts them where... I think that Sammy really can be a center or a winger, but you just can't take out JoJo. And I think that our back line right now looks the best. Like, I would say this center pairing of Philip Sammy and BK is nearly the best center pairing going back over all of our years. I know people complained about BK earlier in the year, but he has such good X factor. He does score tries. I think he scored a try in this game, didn't he? No, did he?
I can't remember. Sorry if he scored in this one. I don't think he scored.
No, he didn't. Maybe it was last week that I'm thinking about. No, he did. No, the 54th minute. No, he did. That's right. Which was a very, very important try, by the way, guys.
You're right. Sorry.
Very, very important try. You know, but I would say, going back through all of our centre pairings, centres have been probably our biggest issue forever, for a very, very long time. Going all the way back to the start, I would say this is probably what I believe could be our best centre pairing going forward.
Yeah, that's fair, man. Like, if I said to you, name 2 great Melbourne Storm centres, you wouldn't know where to start between Greg Inglis, Folau, Will Chambers. The list goes on and on. When I say name great Titan centres, the only person that comes to mind is James Roberts. And I don't really feel
like Connie Arell had his moments, you know, like obviously Connie was fantastic, but would also knock the ball on a bit. You did have Chalky, Luke O'Dwyer as well, played a little bit in the centres.
Brett Delaney, I think he's our most capped centre.
Brett Delaney, Clinton Tupi, these kind of guys. But overall, like, to go on the point, is that whether we had an individual good centre, we didn't have another partner good centre, realistically. It just wasn't working out. It's never really been a consistency for us. So, we've had our decent players. James Roberts would be, I would argue, our best centre of all time. Unfortunately, I have to say that because I don't like him and how he carried on. But, yeah, I believe that Phil Sammy and BK can go together as the best centres going forward. And I think we'll do some damage with them.
100%, mate. And having that strike on both sides of the field is really exciting when we have someone like Jaden Campbell, who just, you know, when he plays 5-8, it's almost like having a second fullback. He's always floating around. You know, you see 5-8s like Jerome Luai exclusively sit on the left-hand side and run that. and that works for Penrith. But I think what works for us is having JC really floating around and offering that point of difference, which is awesome. I got one more question before we go to our 3-2-1s. It's around Cleis Haas. Was named to start at back row, got shifted back to the bench, and Chrissy Randle did play pretty good starting at lock. So do you think this is just temporary why he returns from injury, or do you think this could, and I'm going to say unfortunately, because he's been amazing this year, do you think this could unfortunately be Cleese's new role on this side?
I think that unfortunately, this is Cleis Haas' new role on this side, because I do think that Chrissy Randle has been so good in that lock position. Now, again, like when you're as invested in the club as we are and as you guys are listening and whatnot, overall, you're going to feel sad that players don't necessarily play in the position you want them to, because you've got another player that can also play a fantastic role in that position. So it's like the bench, and this is what we said last year throughout the entire year, Chris Randle on the bench last year was brilliant. That was his spot. And it's not a detractor to who he is. It's not a detractor to the player that Chris Randle is. It's, you know, just a part of the plan that we go forward with. And I thought that way to treat. And now, you know, we're seeing Chris Randle go into the back row points in the front row, into the hooker, even into the halves as a 5'8 and whatnot. But now we're seeing him at 13. And you can't be making like 50 tackles, no missed across the game. Like, this guy knows what he's doing, and he's done this across the last three games against the Warriors, against the who's the next game that we had? We had the Warriors and someone in the Eels.
Warriors, Sharkies,
that's the one. Yeah, so Warriors, Sharkies, and Eels. Like I said last week, don't change too much of a winning formula. That was my biggest issue with the AJ and Keanu thing. Don't change too much of a winning formula. So, look, I'm loving Chrissy Randle 13. I think Cleis can do what he needs to do off the bench. I don't know. I think it's just a really good, he's really good defensively in that kind of middle third of the game, middle part of the game where, you know, players are, you know, starting to get tired and you need someone to come on fit and healthy to get some good defense going.
I'll be completely honest. I think Cleis Haas is the most improved lock forward of anyone in the competition this year. But I still have to say he's on the bench, mate. And it's just so unfortunate because typically you look at a player like Chris Randle and you say, he's so versatile, bring him from the bench. But the issue is with Chris Randle, he could play 90 minutes every week, easy. He's so fit, mate, that, you know, Dad said if he played the first 60 minutes at lock and then someone said, crap, we're down a half, put Chris Randle to six, I've got no doubts he's going to keep churning out that momentum for the final 20. So Cleis is just in a tough spot here where I think he could almost transform his game a little bit where he becomes a little bit more explosive with his hit-ups and maybe looks for an offload or if it's there. And
Well, the thing that separates these two guys is that Chris is a defensive-minded player and Cleis is a defensive-minded player. And, you know, when you're making 50 tackles and no missed, and this isn't a shot at Cleis, but, you know, you can't take that guy off considering they're both a very similar style player there. Cleis, for me, is, you know, he definitely does play lock, and I think he's a great lock, and that's great that we have those interchangeable there. And I think that overall, this is such positive news that we are comparing multiple positions here for multiple players saying that they both can do, you know, great jobs and great work there. We've done that with the fullback. We do that with the 5'8 with AJ and JC realistically. You know, we do that with the locks now. And even the hooker with Sammy Farrells and Chrissy Randle again. So it's really good stuff. But yeah, I think that the negative comparatively with Cleis and Chris is that they are the same mentality player of defense and not a great deal of attack. So I guess if Cleis could improve his attack, then maybe he would go onto that 13 spot. But for the time being, Chris has definitely got a 13 lockdown.
And that's what I was trying to get to, just struggling to word it. But yeah, what you said, if Cleis can transform his game a little bit, then that's how he gets himself back into the starting side in my mind. But just to have these debates, mate, with the form our players are in is so fun and probably a good chance to remind you guys, comment section is open, Facebook groups are open, and of course, SpeakPipe is open as well. If you want to continue to debate and have your say, we welcome that as well. Absolutely. All righty, mate, 3-2-1s for this round. I went first last round, so I'll let you go first this round if you don't mind. I'll kick it off with your 3 points, please.
Yeah, look, I think this one's pretty obvious, man. I do have to go with Jaden Campbell, the guy that I thought could come off as a 14 last week. Ended up being our best player in this one. You know, right now, I think what I'm really impressed with as well is that we don't have Tanner doesn't miss, but JC does not miss. He didn't miss a single kick in that Warriors game. I don't think he missed a kick in the Sharkies game last week, did he? And then he hasn't missed a kick in this game.
Yeah, so 15 from 15.
Well, he didn't miss the kick in the Sharkies game then.
Yeah, right.
Since coming back, he has not missed a single kick. And there has been, 11 tries in the Warriors one and 4 tries. That's 15 from 15 since coming back from injury for Jaden Campbell, which is really, really impressive and really, really needed. 73 run meters, but he had three line break assists. He had 3 try assists in this game. He had 4 tackle breaks in this one as well, with the 21 tackles and 7 missed. But again, guys, and I repeat this every week because people don't get it, 21-7 is kind of actually pretty good for a 5'8". I won't lie. The 7 tackles, usually when you're looking at 5'8", if they get 0 tackles missed, that is an absolutely insanity of a game for them. You're usually looking around the 4-7 mark. 7 is on the higher end, but the 4-7 mark is what you kind of look for there in the missed tackles. So he is on that average area, but 21 tackles is above what you'd be expecting a 5'8 to be making there. So, I thought that Jaden Campbell's clearly our best player, and I gave him the 3 points.
What impressed me most about Jaden is that he's playing through this hand injury at the moment. For those that aren't tracking, the reason why he missed the Sharks game was he broke his hand in the first 2.5 minutes of the Warriors game. So with a broken hand for 78 minutes, he broke the club's record. As you said, he's kicked 15 from 15 goals in a row now. He does not miss. I know, it's insane. And so he actually in his hand has pins and screws holding it all together right now. So no doubt he's playing through a level of pain. When we talk about 7 missed tackles, he did also say in that article that's the hardest part of tackling. He can't grip properly because of the pain his hand's in. So playing through pain for us, putting his body on the line, unbelievable again. Full credit to Jaden. He's my 3 points also. 2 points gets a little bit tighter, though. Who are you going to give your 2 to?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Chris Randall. I've got to give him to Chris Randall, man. Chris Randall was absolutely unreal, as we've been talking about. Obviously, you don't get too much on the attacking side of things. 8 runs to 66 metres. But the main thing that we're looking for here is his defense. I can tell you his 2 tackle breaks, and he had a couple of offloads, but 50 tackles for no missed is absolutely unbelievable, man. You've got to really appreciate that. Now, most people nowadays, when they just watch the game for a bit of fun, they watch it and just a bit of a casual per se, don't look at the defense. They don't look at how important the defense is. And arguably, defense is more important because defense wins premierships. And Chrissy Randall is the perfect example of a guy that you need in your team to win a premiership. He is a perfect example of a guy that you need to, get into that finals race and someone who's going to throw their body at the line 24-7 and it's just never going to stop. So for me, Chrissy Randall is my 2 points. I could have, if JC maybe had 2 try assists rather than 3, I could have given it to Chrissy as my 3. I'll give Chrissy Randall my 2.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. I don't really need to explain it too much. As you said, 50 tackles, 0 missed, an immense effort. Loved Chrissy's work at lock and think he's locked down the position for us. Who gets your 1 point, though?
Yeah, 1 point is a difficult one because there were quite a few, but I'm actually going to go with JoJo Fafita. I think that JoJo was... So when we do our 3-2-1s on Clarkie's page in general, we usually have from both teams, right? So I did go with RCG there on that. But I was still very, very close to putting all 3 Titans players anyway because I did think JoJo was really, really good in this game. He had 16 runs for 181 meters. He had 69 post contact. He had a line break in the game with 3 tackle breaks. And also had 7 tackles for no missed. And, from the eye test, it doesn't have a stat here to prove this, but from the eye test, he was so safe at the back, you just weren't getting past him. And he has really rejuvenated himself as a player. So my 1 point goes to JoJo Fafita, and I think he deserves the accolades considering he's come leaps and bounds as a player from last year.
Love it, mate. I thought JoJo had a really consistent game. I'm going to go with our other winger, Alofeana Kain-Pereira, for his X factor. Electric in attack like he always is. I just thought he had fantastic timing on his wing. When the cutout ball came, AKP was timing his sprint onto that football perfectly. His put down was measured and poised. Everything about his timing was awesome on that wing. I thought it was a fantastic effort. So I'm going to give my 1 point to him. Alrighty, one more bit of
give a bit of a quick little shout out here. Actually, I'm going to give a quick little shout out before we do move on. Is that obviously I had a bit of criticism from Bo Firma in regards to his drop ball, but the 5 tackle breaks. I think that he is doing a great job. Like 43 tackles made for 3 missed is a great job in the centres. Like he knows exactly what. Well, not in the centre. Sorry, Bowie Firma. I got confused because the centers from last week and whatnot. But Bowie Firma making 43 tackles, just the 3 missed there. And, you know, making those five tackle breaks, didn't have the most meters that he usually runs. He still ran for 126. So big shout to Bowie Firma. Made that one mistake, which was a critical mistake, but at the end of the day, still chugged along as per usual and had a strong game. And also, by the way, I just want to throw this out here, from Sammy. He ran for 247 meters in this game. We didn't give him a 3-2-1. 247 meters with a try, a line break assist, and a line break. Jeez. You know what? You know what? I've got to change it. I've got to go for something for 1 point. I've got to go for
Jojo robbed.
I think I've done this in this season before as well. With Jojo, wasn't it? I think it was. I think Jojo.
Jojo's going to start saying, Clarky, move the segments on faster, mate. I need some points.
Yeah. So, no, I'm actually going to give my 1 point to Philip Sami. Again, yeah, he scored a try. 247 metres. 90 post contact, one line break assist, five tackle breaks, and had the 12 tackles for just the one miss there. So, I got to give it to Philip Sami. I thought that's an incredible game.
He was huge on both sides of the ball, as you said, only the one missed tackle, 12 there, and just churned the meters up as if he was a winger coming in for that hard work, which was what I loved. You did miss one crucial stat there, though, which I have to pull you up on. One Gutherino. How could you forget? One Gutherino, one 5,000.
Well, you see, Rossi's calling it the San Marino now. He's calling it the San Marino, not the Gutherino. So it's ours now. Take that, Guther.
To be fair, he kind of has made it his intellectual property. Not only has he dropped it before, but he's dropped it on Gutho two times now, which is hilarious.
I actually had a bit of a tit for tat with Gutho in this game as well. I yelled out to him at a really quiet moment of the game. I know how to pick my moments. And I yelled out saying, like, is this your, what was the gladiator quote? You know, is this your king? Is this your king? He looked over at me. He just gave me the biggest death stare that you, he didn't actually bite back in like Lorenzo Militalo did. He gave me a huge death stare. So, yeah, no, I was having a laugh at the, is this your king? That I think Gladiator had as a quote.
Mate, that is how you get in the head. I love it. All righty, mate, one more bit of recaps to get through. Let's move on to our affiliates. Huge week for both of them. Tweed Seagulls. They defeat the South Logan Magpies 50-10. See you later, Broncos Feeder Club. And the Ipswich Jets defend the Western Clydesdales 48 points to 12. However, both clubs do remain in 13th and 14th, respectively, on the ladder, despite the huge wins. Let's start with the Seagulls first, mate. Let us know, how did our Titans go in this contest?
Yeah, this was a great game to watch live. That was obviously at Seabus Super Stadium before the game. And, yeah, we were able to celebrate the 30 bump. We love the 30 bump. But, yeah, Tommy Weaver, two tries at 105 metres, one try assist, one line break, five tackle breaks, 18 tackles for just three missed, which is really good there. 180 kick metres and just the one error. So, overall, really, really good game there from Tommy Weaver. We had Isaac Fa'asuamalawi, started at prop, led the tackle count again with 23 in 51 minutes. At 124 metres, two tackle breaks, one offload, just the two missed tackles and one error. Also, Jacob Alekwinki, back row for 80 minutes, 183 metres, one line break assist, one try assist, six tackle breaks, two offloads, 16 tackles for just three missed. And the one error that I'm about to bring up is that he should have had a try. He should have had a try, but I believe he knocked the ball on over the line. Jacob Alekwinki, mate, you got to do. I love Jacob. Jacob and I get along great. We have a laugh at each other after every game. But mate, you got to hold on to that ball, son. You got to hold on to that ball because you would have had a try and no errors, mate. You would have had a try and no errors. So the big main event, Jacob Alekwinki, still had a really good game though. That is some really, really good numbers there. But he should have had a try along his name.
Yeah, all three of our Titans were awesome in that game. Here's how our Jets went. Jalen DeGroote was at fullback. He scored a try, had three tackle breaks and 131 metres. Kenny Mamalo, he scored a try, had 158 metres, one try assist and two line breaks. Tanner Boyd, 8 from 8 on conversions. So
does not miss, mate.
Unbelievable. Also had 158 1 meters, one line break assist, and six tackle breaks. Joey Stimson, he played the full 80 minutes at prop for one try, 245 meters, one line break, five tackle breaks, and 26 tackles of his own.
Damn, Ryan Ford. Joey Stimmo went off.
Huge game. 80 minutes, man. Almost 250 meters. Insane. Ryan Foran had a try, 107 meters, four tackle breaks and 18 tackles. And Arama Howe, the big fella, 69 minutes at lock, 28 tackles for just one miss. That's the most of any Jets player. 100 metres, a try, 7 tackle breaks, 2 offloads. And I just want to say, Blaze, this is a little bit longer than what this segment has gone for in previous weeks. I really had to brush through the Jets players there, right? There's 5 or 6 to get through. But it shows in the results the difference of what happens when our NRL players go back to this level. And although Tweed do currently sit in 13th, that game shows why we tipped them to win the premiership this year. We thought all of these guys would regularly be featuring for them. And when they do feature, they dominate. So that's my takeaway there. Which player stood out for you the most? If you had to shine the light on one of our reserve grade players this week, or one of our NRL players playing reserve grade rather, who have you got and why?
That's a really difficult question because all of them have had such fantastic games. I'm going to have to go with Joey Stimmo. I'm going to have to say Joey Stimmo. Like, that is massive. A try, 245 metres, 78 post contact, line break, 5 tackle breaks, 26 tackles is absolutely fantastic. And I'll also, for that, that's my Ipswich Jets one. For Tweed, I have to go with Jake Balogwinki. I think that is a fantastic game for him as well. And again, should add a try. Hold the ball, Jacob.
Look, I'm going to go Tanner Boyd. The reason why I'm going to go Tanner Boyd is when Tanner is playing confident and with confidence, he goal kicks extremely well. You know, we saw earlier that, well, we allegedly saw earlier this year a few missed conversions when his confidence was down. The fact that he kicked 8 from 8 shows me that his confidence is right where it needs to be. But it's also the style of play. Like, he had a line break and a line break assist, 158 metres and 6 tackle breaks. He's being a running player. And that's what we need from him currently because Kieran Foran is now our 7 that's controlling the game for us. So Tanner recognises, if I'm going to come back into this side, I need to have a strong running game at 6 because we don't need 2 controlling halves out there. It's not what the Titans need, as Jaden Campbell's shown us in his last 2 games. So that's what I love about Tanner Boyd. That willingness and that ability.
I'm going to back in what you say, Dave, because I think that people have been unfairly criticising Tanner because they're so haunted by the beginning part of this season, and I guess even to an extent last season as well. I think people have been unfairly criticising Tanner Boyd in recent weeks. I think that ever since he has come back from injury, even just before he went away for injury, he had a good couple of games, helped win us that Titans-Warriors game over in New Zealand. And then I think the next game also, he had was the Cowboys or something like that, where we went up 20-0. Oh, he might have got injured early. But at the end of the day, like, he was doing some really, really good stuff and then came back and was doing fine. We were still, you know, winning games. We won the Sharky game there with him there in 5-8 and whatnot. So, yeah, I feel like he's been unfairly criticised. So I think it's good that you've shouted him out there because, you know, 8th May is not easy. You know, obviously, Jaden Campbell's going to be getting a lot of the shining lights in the not missing department. But, you know, Tanner's putting in an effort as well. And, yeah, a line break assist, line break and 6 tackle breaks in his first game back there for the Ipswich Jets.
Very happy for Tanner. And I think that his form at this level shows that he is above it. And I'll go as far to say, if Tanner Boyd had to come back into our side tomorrow due to an injury and he was playing in the halves, I'd feel completely fine and comfortable and I'd trust him completely. He'll likely be in action this week at Saturday 1 p.m. in South Colon against the Sunshine Coast Falcons. Now, if that same contingency of Titans players, or contingent rather of Titans players, is in that game for the Jets, I'm going to make a bold prediction here and say the Jets win back-to-back games. I reckon they'll beat the Falcons. I dead set do with Tanner there. And Sunday at 10 past 2 p.m. in Dolby, the Western Clydesdales, who our Jets just beat, will host our Seagulls. This game will also be on KO and 9Now if you want to see some of our Seagulls in action.
So yeah, I want to put an emphasis here and say that this is a really, really important game for the Seagulls because obviously we're going to the back end of the season. Oh, wait, is this the last game? No. There's a few more games to go. Yeah, so the Seagulls are on 16 points right now in 13th, and the top 8 is on 20 points in the Capra. So very similar with our Titans that we'll talk about in just a few seconds in regards to they're only 4 points out of the 8. Now, this is a prime opportunity here, one, to guarantee the Clydesdales get the spoon and the Ipswich Jets don't get it, because the Jets, they can't make the 8. They're not going to be making the 8 this year. I wish they would, but they can't. Tweed still can, though. You know, they've got to fix his points differential a little bit with minus 77, but the Capras, they're on minus 36. So that's not too bad of a difference, only about 40-odd, and they could do it in this game here against the Clydesdales, who are in last position. So really, really critical game here for Tweed to win and win well, which is exactly what we said last week with Titans Eels, and I think that the Seagulls are in the exact same position right now to pounce and to make a jump up the table and put themselves, you know, look at the teams around them, the Brisbane Tigers, East Tigers, minus 57, That's not too much difference. Minus 111 for the South Slogan Magpies. They could jump them this week for sure. The Cutters, they're minus 55. That's only 22 difference. And again, they're taking on the Clydesdales, who are minus 332 points differential, which is double worse than what the Jets are currently at with minus 172. Right? So, and the Blackhawks, they're on 19 points, minus 88. The point of the matter is that everyone in this area has awful points differentials, and the Tweedhead Seagulls could use this game as a real kind of momentum, you know, crusher to just keep on going and potentially could Fiddy Bum again.
Look, there's no reason why they can't play finals, but the challenge is hard from here. I believe they'll win against the Clydesdales. Following that, they will be back at home against the North Devils, who are second. That's a tough game.
Yeah.
Then they travel to Papua New Guinea. They need to beat the Hunters there. Then they get a bye, so guaranteed 2 points. And final game of the round, we're against the Central Queensland Capras at home. But we only lost
that's
them by
a massive game, actually, because they're the ones exactly. in eighth.
And we only lost to them by 4 points in Rockhampton earlier this year. So no reason why we couldn't turn that at home. So, yeah, don't give up on Tweed just yet, guys. They need all of our support as well, and they can still play finals. But as you pointed out, it has to start this week with a big win. Against the Clydesdales, no ifs or buts. If it's isn't a big win or it's a loss, it is season over. So it's do or die stuff. All righty, let's leave all the recap stuff in the past, mate. And let's look forward to a preview this Sunday, 4:05 PM. Our Titans are up against the Manly Seagulls. Manly Sea Eagles, okay. Sorry. The Seagulls are mighty. The Sea Eagles are nothing. It's at Four Pines Park in Sydney. Manly have opened up a significant favourites in the betting market, in the tipping market. Despite us looking for four in a row here, my biggest storyline going into this one, mate, and everyone would be tracking this, it's a major one, Des Hasler's first game back at this venue since they sacked him as coach. Let's break it down for the listeners, mate. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, look, and I will actually focus something here on Desi just to start us off, is that we spoke about this before we started the podcast up. You posted on Clarkie's Rugby League column about the fact that Anthony Seibold is coming out and saying that, you know, don't boo Desi Hasler, you know, don't go at him. You know, he won multiple premierships as a player and also as a coach. And from all of my kind of dealings with Manly fans as a content creator in the public light, right, and Manly fans came to me and said that they hope that Desi does well with us, and that they love him. They don't agree with how he was kicked out of from the organization due to the LGBT pride scenario, right? So they're all supportive of Desi backing in the players, which is effectively what he did. And I think that Anthony Seibold here, personally, this is just my private personal thought, not private, but personal thoughts, is that this is actually doing the opposite. It feels like a negative thing there from Seibold, because I haven't seen anything from Facebook groups or Instagram or anything saying, oh, we're going to target Desi Hasler and Boo and whatnot. Because, again, they all love him, right? I was even with a Manly fan at the end of this Titans versus Eels game on the weekend. The Manly fan was loving him. They took a photo with him after the game. You know, I brought her over and she took a photo. So I think this is real poor form here, because I don't think it was a necessary response to anything. There was no response needed because no one brought it up. There was never going to be an issue, I don't believe. And if it is, it's just a couple of larrikins here and there. And I can tell you right now, Desi knows how to handle that. He'll be completely fine there. Maybe Seibold's trying to make it a frosty reception for him and frosty reception for the Titans to get his team up, because this is a very important game for both Manly and the Titans. We are at the point of the season, folks, where we are talking, we need to win this game, and we don't necessarily need to win it well this time round, but we're taking on a team in seventh, which is in the vicinity of us. They're only 5 points away from us right now. It's crazy to think about, but the team in seventh is only 5 points away. We win this game, and that same team is only 3 points away from us, 3 points. So there is so much to play for here. We lose this, we're probably done for the season. We would have to win every single game for the rest of the year, and we take on teams like the Roosters, the Panthers, the Sharks again, all this type of jazz, right? But if we win this and go four in a row, it's a huge leap into putting us back into a position to continuously talk about the fact that we can still make the eight and actually make a genuine run of this.
No, I completely agree, mate. I think for me, when I break this one down, I straight away look at their origin players and the availability there. And I think whether they play or not is probably a mark or an indicator of the respect they've got for us, right? And either way, I actually think it's a positive for us, because we can use it as motivation. You know, if they do put in Cherry Evans and Jake Trbojevic, then we simply go, right, they're going to be up for it. We need to be up for it. And if
sorry
they don't,
to interrupt you here. Sorry to interrupt you here, but I will say, Manly, we actually have a bit of a bogey thing against Manly at Brookvale. Like we usually do beat. We have a really good record, and Brimo usually kills it at Brookvale. So to add on to your point about them respecting us, they better damn well respect us, because not only are we three wins in a row, but also we only lost them by 2 points early in the season at Seabus, and it was controversial based on a 7-meter forward pass. And then also the fact that we have a great history and a great amount of games we've won at Brookvale, and we do have the Desi Hasler, Kieran Foran impact here. So I think they better damn well respect us.
They need to. Absolutely, they should. But whether they do, we can't control that. But we can use it as our motivation. Certainly, I look at the Seagulls right now and I think, what makes them a great side at the moment, or what enabled them to beat the Knights by 42 points last round? I think it was their backline. And why that excites me is I love our backline as well. I know they have a very powerful backline, but I will back our boys to do a job here and match them in that area, which has been their strength. I love that AJ Brimson now has another week under his belt. I see he's named as 18th man. I don't expect it to stay that way. I'm not sure how Desi will.
We know you, Desi, mate. We know you, do. Desi.
Desi, it's round 20. We know that the
Manly. And so does Manly, mate.
Yeah, it's almost like he's just having a little joke with him, like, I'm back. Did you forget me?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. You mentioned the dominant record, 6 from 8 in recent games at this venue. And our last win against them at this venue was actually to break a pretty down spot for the club. It was after the Dolphins Anzac Day game. And no one expected us to turn it around. You went down, you traveled there like you do for all games, and we turned it around.
We won 13 plus.
Exactly. All things considered, with where Manly's at right now, the fact they're higher than us on the ladder, they have a better side on paper and they are at home, I can respect where this market's at and why footy fans from the outside are kind of writing us off. But my only advice, and I'm feeling pretty dangerous, so I'll say it, is do so at your own peril. Like, dead set, if teams haven't learned yet that we're on a roll right now, let's remind them one more time. Let's go 4 from 4. And that's going to lead me into my key to victory for this one, Blaze. I reckon it's a siege mentality. Like, I dead set think our side can match it with theirs on paper, and it's going to come down to our mentality on this one and what Titan side rocks up. We simply must rock up with the mindset that not that this is do or die for the ladder, forget the ladder. This is do or die for our coach and Kieran Foran to a lesser extent, but mainly Des Hasler. Now, we all love Desi in the frontline community and the Titans members. Every Titans fan loves Desi, as do the players. So let's do it for him. It's us versus them. They got rid of him. He wasn't good enough, supposedly. Let's remind them why they were wrong. Let's remind everyone else why they're wrong, because no one else believes in us for this game. If you look at who's tipping and what the betting markets indicate, we need to galvanize from that, guys. Really come together as a Titans community. Make this 17 feel the love and feel, that we're behind them. So when they rock out there on game day, they can explode out of the blocks again like they did against the Eels. Get us off to a great start. And I do believe if we get off to that great start, it will rattle Manly a little bit, because they'll be thinking, oh, crap, last time they got off to a tight start, we had to score 34 points to win. Have we got that in us today? Of course, last time was a 34-30 loss at home. So that's my key to victory, mate. It starts with the mindset, and that needs to transfer over onto the field early. When you look at this game and you break it down, do you have a key to victory or something you really want to see from our side?
I think the key to victory is just not getting ahead of ourselves and, you know, not thinking that we are above where we're at, you know, not thinking that we are a, you know, big time team, which a club has done in the past. And that's why, as fans, we see it. As players, they're kind of too new to the organization and too new into all this to really understand how the fans feel on the longevity factor that, you know, we still have that 2011, 2019, you know, 2016, all these individual years where there's big things that have happened, whether negative or positive. Point of matter is that at points, there has been moments where the club has gone into a game thinking it's bigger than it actually is. And there does have to be some arrogance involved. 100%, there has to be arrogance to be good and to be the best. But at the end of the day as well, we are still building as a club. We are still putting ourselves into the right direction. We're not there yet because, again, we're not in the top 8 right now. We just need to take it one game at a time. And this is what the boys say to me every single week, which is what I respect from them, is that we need to take it one game at a time, and they are taking it one game at a time. They don't know or care who we're playing in 2, 3, 4 weeks. We do as fans. They don't. All they know is they're going to beat Manly, this week. And then once they beat Manly, well, guess what? Then they'll realize on Monday morning or Sunday night or whatever that they're taking on the Dolphins at Suncorp the week after. So, yeah, these boys just need to understand we're not above where we're at yet. And I think they do understand that. And we need to go in with that same aggression. You know, Cherry Evans has got Origin on Wednesday night. You know, whether he's up or down, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we need to go in and make it a tough time for him. We need to tire him out. We need to show him that, look, I want Dave to run at him. I want Dave to run straight at him so that he can go and pass that message straight on to Billy and say, you're wrong, mate. You know, regardless, win or lose, you're wrong. So, yeah, overall, just stay cool-headed. Don't go crazy just yet. We haven't done anything just yet, but we can do something if we keep doing it.
I like that. So it sounds like both of our keys to victory are really around the mental side. And if I had to give like a physical key to victory or something on field rather, I'm going to agree with you. I want to see us get Dave more involved. Like people can criticize Dave and say he's not looking for the footy enough, but when Dave's at his best, we're finding him the footy in the right spots. And since Kieran Foran has moved to that halfback role where he's playing both sides of the field, and as we spoke about earlier, Jaden Campbell's really floating, we don't have a dedicated left side half there for Dave to really take advantage of and run those great outside lines. So I'd like to see us find a way to get Dave involved, because the flow-on effect from that is I think that he can really rattle one of their centres or wingers if they are to, you know, try to make a tackle on him, just get brushed off or smashed like Cody Walker did and Dave scores. I think that can have some mental effects for him as well. And to be completely fair to Dave, I don't think he's been at his best the last 2 weeks. And I do wonder if the Origin talk had kind of gotten his head a little bit. And now, by the time he plays this game, the Origin, it's out of consideration. It's not a factor anymore. The series is over. So I'll back Dave in, mate. I think he'll have a huge game for us, but I want to see us get him the ball in some better spots as well. Look, final prediction for me, mate. I have us winning. I expect Manly to be a tough task, so I'm going to say Titans by 8 points. I think we'll be above that one try kind of variable most of the game, kind of like the Eels game, maybe a little bit more high scoring. But I don't think Manly will go away. I don't think we'll quite ever blow this one out of the water because they are a tough side. What's your final prediction or winning margin?
I'm going to give everyone a heart attack right now. I think we win this game by 1 point. I think we win it by 1 point. Yeah, I do. And the reason why is because it's all well and good winning games by big margins. You know, it's all well and good winning 66-6, and I would even classify 24-16 a decent enough margin of 8 where you are still ahead pretty much the entirety of the game. Yes, as Titans fans, we get nervous, but I also, throughout that Eels game, I did say to myself, I remember actually physically saying to myself, like, we are a different team now, and although we've had our past trauma in regards to this team, the fact of the matter is that I knew we were going to win that game. I knew it. If you just took your bias from previous years out, you knew we were going to win that game. We did. The Sharkies game was a little bit different, I would say. Like, they did have a real solid opportunity to win that game. But I think that we need to prove that we can win those real close games. And I think Manly, they absolutely thrive in regards to having multiple really close games this year. One, they had a draw. That's why they're on opposite sides of the points on the table. They had a draw, the Warriors, who, mind you, we've beaten twice this year. You know, they also had an extra time game the other week that was really, really close. They love a good close game. And I think that for us to prove that we are really here, I think that for us to really show that we are going to be the team that we're seeing right now, I think we win by 1 point. I think we kick a field goal. I don't actually know who would kick it. Tanner would normally kick it if he was playing, but he's not. I would assume JC can kick. But also, you know, we've got Foz there who should have had a penalty in Canberra, to be fair. Also, just want to point this out here as well, guys. Canberra and Knights, there's our 4 points. We're in the 8 right now, or we're equal with the 8. You know, that's really frustrating to talk about, but, you know, let's not bring it up too much. But the point of the matter is, I'm taking a field goal. I don't know if I'll survive Brookvale if we win by a field goal, because I'll be there, obviously. I don't know if I'll survive, but that will be a heart attack. And I think if we do that, I'll truly believe that we have a really good opportunity to make the 8 this year.
What makes me so exciting about how you broke that down there as well is when you say you expect it to be a tight game, I go to our game against them earlier this year where we were improving, but we weren't as good as we are now. And we only lost that one by 4 points. Exactly right. So if you think this would be a close one, and I believe we're a better side than what we were back then, I actually see us winning. Now, of course, the Brookvale home ground is something to be said, But I'll back us in, mate. So we are both believing in our boys this week, which is awesome. We'll now move to the Phone the Frontline section. If you do want to feature in this section, guys, the link to do so is in the podcast description and the YouTube description. I can see you bobbing. I assume that's because the song is playing right now, but it's not playing while we're live.
No,
so
it's
let's
not.
Jump into it, mate. This next one comes from Matt Sheriston, and it goes for 1 minute long.
How good was that game? Pumped up. Yeah. Faded a little bit in the second half, but we held on, which is great. I think our defense is getting better compared to, you know, a couple of years ago where the second half fade out and the defense was not there. So that's, it's kind of good that we're tightening that up, which is, it's awesome. I had a bit of a thought, you know, at our home games, I reckon it would be awesome if when we win after the end, we do like everyone does the Titans chant. Like, you know, I know who and what I am. I know who and what I am. I can imagine doing that with everyone doing it, like in the stadium. That would be awesome. And it would, you know, the boys would love it. And they obviously they go into the sheds and they do it as well. But yeah, anyway, keep it up, guys. Catch ya.
Zoom. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the zing at the end there as well.
Did the zing,
Respect the zing. That was awesome. We do like a crowd song when we win games, but I'll let you explain that because you usually lead it with the drum.
Yeah, so what I was going to say was, like, I agree with what you're saying, but I disagree in regards to using the players' one. I think the players' one should be separate and it is for them. You know, I think that they should sing it themselves and that's great. I think for us, you know, we can either use the one that we have right now in the OV Gold Coast is wonderful. OV Gold Coast is wonderful for the beach, beer and football. OV Coast is wonderful. I think that's great, right? And it is very similar to the Dragons, but also the fact of the matter is that you also have the player's song is similar to other clubs and whatnot. So it doesn't really matter. We've made it our own. And I think that we either use that or we come up with an actual, you know, different chant or song or whatever. But then again, I will reiterate to people that people have tried to create songs for many years now for the Titans, you know, to have like a winning song, just never worked out. There's one that has stuck around for like 10, 12 years or whatever, which is not my favorite. Yeah, it's awful.
We belong. Yeah.
It's awful. So like there is that one there that has kind of stuck around like a bad smell for a while now, but you know, good on them for giving it a good old crack. I would love to know if they're still a supporter of this club because that was, you know, before we went through our real dark times.
Yeah, reach out. Whoever made that song, reach out if you're listening right now.
Can you make another song? Can you try that? To get to the bottom of what we're saying here is that, yes, I agree. We need everyone to be singing a chant. We do currently have something open to hearing thoughts on how to change that, but no to using the player's song.
Love it, mate. Let's move on to our next one. It's from Brody Campbell, 54 seconds long. We love you, Brody.
Boys, almost a month at losing. That feels amazing to say. Now, of course, with the last few weeks of the season coming up, the goal is to win as many games as we can and hopefully play finals football. But I want to put it in a different perspective for you guys today. Obviously, the next few weeks, we got a lot of, let's say, revenge games coming up against teams that defeated us earlier on in the season. So I wanted to ask you boys, what is the game that you want us to take the most over the next few weeks? I'm personally biased, and I want to say the Dragons game in Wollongong is the one I really want us to win because, number one, I'll be at the game, so I'm personally biased there. Also because, you know, there was so much hype going into the round one match, and for us to lose in the way we did was very disappointing. So to get a one-up on the Dragons in Wollongong would be quite amazing. But we've also got games against, you know, Manly this week, the Dolphins, other teams like that. Let's hear who you guys want to get that victory over this season.
You go. Love that question from Brody. Yeah, I was actually about to check the draw whilst Brody was talking, and then it jumped out to me straight away. The Dolphins. We haven't beat them yet. We got to beat them. So I'm saying Dolphins, mate. Who you got?
Mine was going to be the Dolphins as well. Like we've never beaten them before. They have provided us, me, everyone, the hardest of heartbreaks, that I've ever had to put up with, and. Yeah, I want to cut the fins off. I want to cut the fins off. And Peter, if you're listening, I want to cut the fins off. Cut the fins off. I want the Dolphins to lose and lose well.
I want to bash Dwayne Bennett. This next one comes from Brody Town. No, Jackie. This next one comes from Brody Town. Shannon, it goes for 24 seconds.
Boys, boys, boys. How do you reckon that one was this weekend, mate? So good, three on the trot. How do you reckon we're going to go at Brookvale this weekend? Realistically, score predictions. Who do you reckon will be our standouts and also their standouts for this weekend? Yeah, excited. Let's go.
Thank you, Brody. If I've got to give a score prediction, I'll go 30-22. Both sides capable of scoring points with powerful back lines. I think the standout for them will be Tom Trbojevic. I expect him to remain at fullback. And I think our standout will be whoever plays at fullback, whether that's Kinney or Brimson. I think they're both more than capable of stepping up to the task and having a big game here against Manly. So I think either fullback from both sides will stand out, and I think we'll win 30-22. What's your predictions, man?
I'll go with a 23-22, but with my field goal prediction, I will say that if there's going to be a standout for them, then it's more than likely going to be it could be a Jason Saab, to be fair, with his speed to get around. But with that being said, our defense is really, really solid. If Cherry Evans backs up, I'll go Chez. I'll go Cherry Evans for sure. He does love playing us, that bloke, because of what happened 10 years ago. But look, for us, I think that our standout, there's one, I will agree with you and say that, yeah, like the fullback is an obvious choice there. And I think that you're right, because we do, AJ tends to kill them at Brookvale when he plays there. And Keanu could do the same. And Desi loves a good fullback. Look at his past, Benny Barber, 2014, and also Tom Trbojevic, 2021, plus also Brett Stewart back in like 2009 and whatnot, right? But the point of the matter is that I think that BK is a good shout to have a big one here. Brian Kelly has played at Manly. I think that he didn't have necessarily his best game against the Eels, and I think he can really turn up in this one against Manly down there in front of the locals where he knows how to play at Brookie, and I think that he's a great shout. And there's also the Kieran Foran aspect of the fact that he was a long-standing servant at the Manly Seagulls and is still loved down there. They didn't want to let him to leave. They replaced him with Joshy Schuster, which didn't necessarily work out for them. So, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
I'm whoever so made that decision from Manly, mate, they do not deserve a job. That is horrible, mate. It's a horrible decision. We don't want to re-sign Kieran Foran for what? What are you getting then? Like, let's say 500K. Josh Schuster, you're our new 5'8", and we're going to pay you 800K. That decision.
I hope that Josh doesn't see this, bro. Josh, I know you. I love you. You're a good bloke. But look, you can understand where we're coming from. You know, Foz should have always been. He should have stayed there. But we're happy. You know, we're very happy. So in order, I would say I'll go one. I'm expecting Brian Kelly. Actually, no, I'll say my one. Brian Kelly. That's my one to stand out.
I like it. I disagree with you, Jason Saab call, though. He's going to make, let's say he makes a break. Unlikely, but let's say he does. He's going to be looking over one shoulder, going, oh, my God, Olofiana Khan-Pereira is closing in on me. As we know, he's a speedster. And then he's going to look to the other side.
Saab is on JoJo's side, isn't he?
Other way around, then. He's going to look here and see JoJo. And then he's going to look to the left and see Olofiana Khan-Pereira and go, I'm not as fast as I thought I was. These Titans boys, not only do they have premiership muscle.
JoJo gets beaten by Saab. I don't think he gets beaten by Saab. So I'll take that away, and I'll just go Chez.
Exactly right. Saab's got nothing. We've got this real speedy wingers here at the Titans.
I think JoJo's too good defensively recently. I genuinely don't know if Saab will be able to beat him. I don't care that you're all pace, bro, because I really do think that he's pretty much just all pace. I think that like he'll be a good battle between him and Loffy speed-wise if there's a break, but Loffy would have to cut across the field or same vice versa for Saab to Loff. But JoJo's also regarded in the club as faster than Loffy. So, you know, maybe we'd be able to see that. But I think JoJo's defense has been so solid recently that I don't know if Jason Saab will be able to do that. So I'll go Chez.
Jason Saab, you might be all pace, but when JoJo gives you no space, there's no race. This next one's anonymous and it goes for 22 seconds.
Here we go.
Titans. Titans. Guys, Titans. Oh, what a win on the weekend. Wasn't that the most beautiful thing you've seen? The Burnett Eels been staring a chance. And now about the Tirana. Oh, God, I'd love to get my mitts on him.
Dude, didn't I tell you before we started the podcast, stop leaving us voice messages? I said, don't.
Did they just say, what about the drummer? I'd love to get my mitts on him, and did like a muffle sound.
They're doing more than getting their mitts on you, if that's the sound that's coming out, mate. They've got more than their mitts on you. They've got you hook, line, and sinker. I was going to repeat that noise, and then I realized I could become a meme on the internet, so I'm not going to repeat that noise. All righty, guys.
Thank you for your voice message, Anonymous. I appreciate the love. Valentine's Day is still about a good 9 months away or so, but I'll see you then, hopefully. Hopefully
he comes back. But, mate, it's getting weird, so I think that's where we should call the show.
Yes, please.
So from myself, guys, thank you so much for being here with us. Whether you're here on YouTube or listening on a podcast service, absolutely appreciate you being here with us on the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. We appreciate your viewership more than we can put into words. It really does mean the world to us, and we love being able to represent this wonderful community with a podcast each and every week. So from myself, one more time, thank you very much, and over to the drummer boy to close out the show.
Yeah, it was good that you moved on after that really strange message there from old mate. But yeah, look, we appreciate you guys. Obviously, 3 wins in a row, massive. Let's go for 4 wins in a row at Manly. The women's season is starting up, so we're about to do a podcast as well with the women's game. We think that it deserves its own chat, and it can go for as long as it possibly can, right? So we've got plenty to talk about there. So do keep an eye out on your subscription feed on Spotify, Apple, and also on YouTube there, because that will coming out in the next couple of days or so. If you're going to Manly this week, we're going to be in the it's on the general admission side. It's in the corner. As soon as you walk in the gates, there's like a general admission corner, and you just sit there. That's where we'll be. You'll see me. You'll see us all, Maddie, Sam, the crew. We're all going to be getting up and getting loud. And it could be a really, really big one in regards to the crowd. So turn up with your voices, and we'll see you guys there. And let's get a shin going, bud.
Oh, Trump, oh, he gone mad.